Well, this is one sermon that is a lot of fun to preach because I think we've all had dealings with this sort of thing and weeds in our garden. Most of us remember a time when we had a garden, if we don't now, when we planted the plants or the seed and it seemed like the weeds just came and came and came, and all we got done was pull weeds. And it seems like we spend more time on the weeds than we do on the vegetable plants as they grow. This would have been probably the same feeling of the people in Jesus' day who grew a lot of different plants and vegetables and had their fields where they very so often grew wheat. And in this wheat would grow weeds like we know weeds grow in our day today. The Bible calls them tares in some translations. A tare is, by definition, any various vetch, which is a leafy climbing trailing plant that's actually from the pea family. They're called vetches. And a tare is any kind of a vetch, like a leafy climbing trailing plant that grew in amongst the wheat. In the Bible, it was an undesirable weed or an undesirable plant that had no use. The word tare itself in the Greek language means darnel or false grain. Darnel was a plant that looked a lot like the wheat as it was starting to grow up, but it did not get the wheat head on it. So it was called false grain. It was not the real thing. Although it would try and mimic what was true, it really was nothing more than just a pest, something undesirable. In Jesus' day, as he began to teach, remember, he went out in the boat, he was in Galilee, went out in the boat, and the people were on the shore listening to what he had to teach. So he was starting to teach them in parables. And the reason he taught them in parables was so that they could more fully understand what he was about to say. Now, I want you to understand that these parables were not the foundation of what he was teaching. They were symbolic stories that were to be implanted in the people's minds so that as he taught, they could look back and say, oh, yes, now I understand what he's talking about. And one of the ways he did this was through parables. The first thing he said to them was, like the soils, many people are not going to believe what I have to say. They're not going to have faith, nor are they going to believe in what I have to say. And he gives the four different responses to what he had to say. First of all, there was the superficial response, like the seed that landed on the hard path. It was just on the surface. Therefore, the enemy, meaning Satan, could come along and snatch it up because it was only superficial. It wasn't deep inside. He referred to those with hardened hearts like this rocky soil that when life actually got hot, because their hearts were hardened and they rejected the seed deep in their hearts, that they would turn away and fall away. And there were those that would reject the truth because they were more worried about the things of life than they were about following Jesus and glorifying God. And fourthly, then, there was the good soil, the ones that were openly, receptively, and productively receiving the message and bursting forth fruit for Christ, believing, receiving. Now he begins to teach that a person's response to that message about the kingdom of God puts them into one of two classes. Our response to the gospel puts us in one of two classes: the saved or the lost, the receivers and the rejectors, the believers and the unbelievers, or the wheat and the weeds. In the text today, he told them another parable, of which he explains to his disciples later. We'll talk about that. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. So, we have this picture in our mind about a man that sowed good seed. Good seed. I want you to think about that. Good seed. Then, while everyone was sleeping and not aware, the enemy came and sowed weed seeds in amongst the wheat. So the good seed, this wheat seed in this story. The enemy sowed bad seed. When the wheat sprouted and began to show good things, all of a sudden, here comes the weeds to try and choke it out and try and take away its glory. Right? So the owner's servants came to the owner and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Well, then where did the weeds come from?" Well, the owner said, "An enemy did this. An enemy did this." The owner said, "I didn't do this. The enemy did this." And the servant said, "Well, do you want us to go and pull them up?" And he said, "No, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you might root up the wheat with them. So I'll let them both grow together until harvest time. At that time, I'll tell the harvesters, first, collect the weeds. Tie them in bundles to be burned. Then, gather the wheat and bring them into my barn." In this way, we get a picture that Jesus is teaching for a time, good and evil will coexist. For a while, the children of God and the children of Satan will coexist. But there's a time when all this will be made pure. And though God allows time for this, He will eventually destroy Satan and his followers. You know, a lot of people at that time and today believed, and believe today, that being a Christian, following Jesus, our hope is for a perfect utopia here on earth. That's what Jesus is trying to tell them here. That there are God's people and the enemy's people. And they're going to coexist for a time. But this perfect garden, weed-free garden, is not going to be here on earth. There's a time coming when there's going to be a harvest, and the weeds will be taken care of in their own way, and the wheat in another. Bible students and avid readers of the Bible would right away think about John's writing in Revelation chapter 20. "Then I saw the great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Jesus said, "It's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I'll give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, Harry Potter and the like, mind you, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur." You get the mind picture here, what Jesus is trying to tell his people? There's a time when this is coming, and John wrote about it as he saw it in a vision. Now, there are two questions that usually come to mind when we read these kind of things. First of all, who are the sons or the children of the kingdom, and who are the children of the enemy? And secondly, why would God allow the enemy to sow seeds in God's field? First of all, in 1 John 3, John tells us that the children of God are those who are not continuing to sin and instead are expressing love. That's another sermon altogether, but those people who are not continuing to sin and are expressing love are those that are filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a difference in them. You can tell something is different about them. In chapter 1 of John's Gospel, however, and this is one of the key verses of our Bible, mind you, John lived with Jesus. He knew Jesus. He learned from Jesus. And when John says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Children not born of natural descent, children not born of a human decision or husband's will, but born of God. Hope you all understand that. the children of God are those who are born again because they receive Jesus Christ and believe in Him. The Bible's specific on that. John records an interaction with Jesus that Jesus had with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were criticizing Jesus. And they were saying, "We're Abraham's descendants. Abraham's our father. We're Abraham's children." Jesus said, "If you were Abraham's children, you wouldn't do the things that you do. You'd do the things that Abraham did. You'd have faith in God." Instead, he says, "You're determined to kill me." He said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I'm here. I've not come on my own, but He sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say." He says to them, he says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, and there's no truth in him." Starting to make a little more sense. The children of a kingdom, the children of God, are those who believe in Jesus and receive Him by faith. The disciples said to Jesus, "Well, what does this parable of the weeds mean?" Jesus said, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man." That's Jesus. "The field's the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out His angels. They'll weed out of His kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And they'll throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That doesn't scare a lot of people, but I know it scares the pants off me. A horrific scene. And I know that I am not going to be there because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, those who receive Jesus are the children of God and the kingdom of God. And those who have not received Jesus are the children of the devil. The second question, why would God allow the enemy to sow seeds in His field? First of all, we have to look at the text here today. The servants went to the man. And they said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Then why are bad things coming up?" And the master said, "I didn't do this. An enemy did this." And we understand that God's not the one who brings evil about. Although He allows it for His glory. But God didn't do this. God is good. And every time He does something good, the enemy counterattacks God. And you see, the good seed came up as wheat, and just when it started to form heads, the enemy came in and counterattacked. You want to have a battle on your hands. You want to do something for the glory of God. How many of you here go home on Sunday afternoon after worshiping and praising God? And the devil launches such a terrible attack on your life, it just makes you want to turn away and say, "Why did I even go to church this morning?" Sometimes it takes place while you're getting ready for church in the morning. God has a plan, and He's faithful to it. God doesn't react to the enemy. The enemy has no power over God, and the enemy doesn't control God by what he does. You see, Satan doesn't work, and God says, "Oh, I got to react to this. I got to do something about it." God says, "Oh, I got this under control. I've had this under control from before I created the heavens and the earth. I got my plan, and I'm going to sit back and watch it be carried out." And Satan's gritting his teeth because he can't control God. Notice here that the weeds don't choke out the wheat. God is protecting His children. God is protecting His children. What was the song that we sang? "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." God was protecting His children. He had His plan. Things were under control. He had His perfect timing. If we are all patient, we will see God work in His perfect time. You see, folks, when Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The fulfillment of this comes when Jesus sends the harvesters and the wheat is separated from the weeds. In fulfillment of his ministry to set up the kingdom of heaven, the believers will be brought in for the glory of God and the unbelievers will be burned up. You ever look out across the beautiful field of wheat? The wheat that's come to head and it's got its seeds. It's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. And you think, wow, that is so awesome. And right away we think about the farmer. He must be so proud of his crop. Look at how he sowed it and took care of the ground and now it's come up. He's going to have a great harvest someday. You see, the wheat glorifies the Father and the weeds do not. Do you know where weeds came from? There was only ever one perfect garden. It was called Eden. Someday there will be another one and it will be called the New Jerusalem. There were no weeds in the Garden of Eden. I question whether there was onions, but there were no weeds. If you read the book of Genesis, weeds did not come about until God cursed the earth because of the sin of man. And he said, all the days of your life you will toil and work to live, to eat. The thorns, the thistles, and the weeds came up because of the curse. Not because of God. God didn't plant weeds to make our lives difficult. And he says, I got everything under control. As Jesus began teaching, encouraging the people to be receptive to his message, like good soil is receptive to the seed, he warns them of the judgment for those who will not receive that message. And as he told Nicodemus, those who are born again. Remember he told Nicodemus, you cannot enter the kingdom of God until you're born again. The old is gone, the new has come. The weeds are out, the wheat's in. Yet as John tells us in his gospel, to those who received and believed, he gave the right to become children of God, and God will not let his children be choked out or burned up. John writes in his gospel, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish in this life or in eternity. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Jesus is saying they're mine. They belong to me. My Father has given them to me as greater than all and no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. When Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like, in our language he would say the kingdom of heaven works like this. Not everybody's going to believe and receive the gospel. And there's two types of people, the believers and the unbelievers. And they're going to grow together. You're going to see them interspersed. But there's coming a time when God's going to say, no more. And they're going to rip the weeds out, bundle them to be burned, and they're going to take the wheat and process it and store it in God's granaries for all eternity. That's God's purpose for us. We want a perfect garden. The perfect garden is not here. The perfect garden is there. And we'll be there someday. In Luke 9, Jesus and his disciples were headed for Jerusalem during his final days. They went through Samaria and there were people there who didn't welcome Jesus and believe in him. As a result, if you remember, James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven to destroy them. They said, let's kill those people. Jesus said, nope, let it go. We're going on. We have a greater purpose. God's in control. God's the judge. Those who received his son are his children, his good seed, his good crop. And the good crop glorifies the sower in this world and in the granaries of eternity. What Jesus is doing as he continues his teaching is correlating his parables. And he began with a farmer sowing seed on various soils. The good soil being the one who received the message that Jesus was teaching. Now he refers to the seed itself in that there's good seed and there's bad seed. The good seed symbolizes what happens when people do receive the message of the gospel. They glorify the sower. And he's saying to those who believe, you will live among those who don't believe for a time. But there's coming a time when there's going to be a harvest. And this perfect garden that we all seek will be a reality. Because the unbelievers, the weeds, are going to be gathered first. Notice that. The first purpose of Jesus is to destroy the unbelievers. You say, well, that's not love. That's unmerciful. I want to remind you, God's a God of justice, and that is just. God has laws. God has spoken His laws. He has warned His people. He's warned you and I. For a time, He's merciful and gracious to allow us to live. But there's coming a time when He'll say, no longer. No longer. I am loving and I am just. And He will separate the two. And He will gather the believers into His granaries forever and ever. To those who hear, let them understand. To those who see, let them believe, that they might receive and that they might be born again. Let's pray. God, our Father, and amidst the teachings of Jesus is love and justice. And as Jesus was teaching, a time is coming when those Pharisees, those religious people who didn't believe in Him, those people who rejected Him, those people who turned away from Him, there was coming a day when God would deal with them. But for now, He's telling those who believe to shine like the noonday sun, to glorify the sower, to rejoice in God's fields until the day comes when He will gather us in to His granaries of eternity. Thank You, Father, for this hope that we have in Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.